Hi, Creative. It's Lauren here, and I wanted to ask you a quick favor. If you like the show and it has helped you, please remember to rate, review, and follow it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Also, consider sharing the show on your Instagram stories or Twitter. Tag the guest at Unleash Your Inner Creative and at Lauren LaGrasso, and I will repost to share my gratitude. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. And now, let's get to the creative chat. All right, I'm going to start us. Okay, everyone give me a test. Dad, do one more.
Test, test. One, two, three. Test, test.
You sound great. Mommy?
Okay, the carpet's in my way here. Okay. We have this new carpet, and it's all curdled up. Okay. Testing. One, two, three. Testing. JoJo here.
Are you feeling good? And are you going to be able to talk into the mic, you think, or is that going to be a challenge?
No, I can talk into the mic.
We are ready.
I'm trying to see what my best angle is. Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
I am.
Focus
you
on
look
the,
so pretty. Look
the
at
audio
that.
Content.
I want some of that. Whatever you got on your face. I want.
It's a shimmer. 100% pure. You got it for me.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
I guess I feel like I should have my comb handy and my lipstick.
Are you going to comb your hair in the middle of the podcast?
I don't know. Maybe if I need to.
Do you want to go get it?
I don't know. Does it look? How does my hair look?
Your hair looks fabulous. Not kidding you.
Really? Okay, let me get it.
Oh gosh, patience is a virtue.
Should I leave my no? I shouldn't have it there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, have my lipstick and my comb handy.
That's good. We like that. We okay. like to see that. Okay, ready? I'm gonna get us going now. Is okay. that good for
yes.
you? Are you guys okay?
I guess
that?
Okay.
Yes.
I know it's really hard because you
is
know
very traumatic. For
you're
me
very much a diva.
I don't like being on camera, and it's very.
You're the Mariah of the family.
It's very intimidating to me.
Queen of Christmas. Okay, yes. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Hello, and welcome to Unleash Your Inner Creative with Lauren LaGrasso. I'm Lauren LaGrasso. I'm an award-winning podcast host and producer, singer-songwriter, public speaker, actor, and creative coach. And this show is meant to give you tools to love yourself enough to go after whatever it is that's on your heart and take fear out of the driver's seat. On the show, we talk about spirituality, mental health, the creative process and journey, all the things that it means to be a human and how to become more human. And today I have two of my favorite humans. Can you not move around your cup while I am
I was
talking?
Trying to see how the cup looked best on
yes,
camera.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which area?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. My mom's shifting around the cup while I'm trying to do the
oh,
intro
sorry.
And say what wonderful people you are. And yet here you are disrespecting the mic.
Oh,
anyway,
sorry.
So my name's Lauren, obviously. These are my parents, Joanne and Mike LaGrasso. They're here with me today for the Unleash Your Inner Creative Christmas Spectacular. Joanne, Mike, Mom, Dad, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us.
And it's great to be here.
It's our pleasure.
How does it feel to be back after 1 year away from this glorious little podcast? Back at it.
It seems like Christmas is our time to shine.
Yeah.
You give us an opportunity every Christmas to
I hope we shine
get
today.
Together
yeah,
and
we can only hope we shine.
Answer your tough questions.
Yeah, I've got some hard hitters. Well, my first one is starting out with this holiday season, I'm going to ask you a few Christmas themed questions, okay? So starting out, how are you feeling going into this holiday season? What sort of emotions are stirring in the souls of Joanne and Mike LaGrasso?
Oh, wow. That is a very heavy question. Emotions that are stirring are emotions of love and gratitude. Mostly, I'm so excited to have you and Timmy here. And
Timmy is my boyfriend.
Yes. And we're, you know, you both fill the house with so much love and joy. And I'm just very grateful for all the wonderful things we have and hopeful that we can next year get out of this, you know,
seemingly endless.
Thank you. That's mm-hmm. those are the words. Yes, those are the words. Pandemic, and so I'm feelings of love and joy and gratitude. Yes,
I would have to say I feel the same thing. We've had a an interesting year, obviously with COVID. That's been challenging, but we now have gotten our shots and our booster, so we've got that behind us. We did have a little misfortune, the fact that we had a flood.
A biblical-type flood, actually.
But that is
It was a huge flood. It wasn't a little flood. It was like 5 feet of water the first time and 3 feet of water the second time. And let me tell you, it was horrendous.
It was Noah's Ark up in here.
Yes. However, it wasn't tragic because no one was hurt, but it was very emotionally and physically
So it was
exhausting.
At the lower level of our house, which we really don't you know, live in day to day. And it really gave us an opportunity. I call it a renewal to purge some, you know, true. I'll call it 34 years of accumulation, and
goodness.
And then having Lauren and Tim come
share
here
with
for
the
Christmas,
world, the accumulation.
It gave us an opportunity to also refresh our living area, and I think we've done a very good job in doing that. So I'm very grateful that we've.
It's beautiful. I agree. Mom, there's nothing wrong with what Dad's saying. You know what? It's true. And I think that this is a good message for anybody that's going through a moment of loss, right? Because what a great perspective, Dad, that instead of, oh, we lost all this, it was a refresh for you, you know?
Right.
And I know it wasn't like that at first. At first, you were both really sad. It was really it wasn't tragic in that people died, but like a lot of memories were lost. We lost pictures. We lost certain things that were,
your toys from childhood, different outfits and so on and so forth.
But that's great advice for anybody that's going through some sort of loss to, you know, yes, feel what you feel, but then, you know, realize that it's also a renewal for you.
Correct.
Yeah.
And having you and Tim come home, then sort of forced our hand to get the living areas of the house in much better order. And I think we've got the house looking very, very nice for a beautiful holiday together.
Yeah, and you redecorated a little bit. Like, it's really, I mean, I love what you've done with the furniture. We're loving it. I feel like I'm in a luxury resort, Honey Buns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, it's really cute too, Mom, that you always, every time I come home, you have what you call, quote unquote, amenities in my bathroom.
I just wanted to set up the amenities for you.
And I come home to like little face wash and toothpaste. And it's so sweet.
It's important.
How did you start doing that? How did you think to do that?
Well, I don't know. I just like to have little nice things for you when you come home and have, you know, I want to have like things that you'll need, like toothpaste, toothbrush, and then lotions, some nice little, you know, things to eye makeup remover pads and let's see, body lotion and, you know, maybe skin lotion and nail polish and all the little things that, you know, might make things a little more comfortable for you and more fun.
Yeah. So sweet.
I think we're practicing to be a 5-star Airbnb.
You are. I mean, where can I give you a review? By the way, rate, review, subscribe the podcast.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But also to my parents' home. So, okay. That is beautiful. I'm so happy you're feeling like that going into the Christmas season. I'm so happy to be here and be with the two of you, my favorite people, and Timmy, my other favorite person. And it's just been wonderful, you know, to be in love during the holidays.
So happy for both of you.
With my amazing parents. And so, you know.
I hope Tim is enjoying it as much as you are.
I think he is, actually. But he'll be on. So this is the last episode of the year. The first week of January, I'm going to do an episode with Tim where we tell our love story and share how we manifested love in our lives and found each other and how you can manifest love in your life too. So it's going to be called Manifest Love in 2022. We're taking off next week for the holiday. But okay, I want to get back to these Christmas-related questions. Very important, hard-hitting question. Mom, I'd like to start with you. Do you relate more to Santa or to the elves?
Oh, wow. That is a very, very difficult question. Do I relate more to Santa or to the elves? You mean personally, my personal
self? Personally, professionally.
Okay. Well, let's see. I guess, since I'm not exactly sure how I'm answering this question and why and, you know, how I'm supposed to answer it, I guess I would say, I guess I personally relate more to Santa because growing up, you know, Santa was Santa Claus. And, you know, before I knew that Santa Claus was, you know, actually the spirit of Santa Claus and not really Santa Claus going over millions and millions of houses in one night.
Explain what you mean by that, because not everyone knows what the spirit of Santa Claus is.
Well, when you were little, you believed in Santa Claus.
Right.
And then once you found out that there was really no Santa Claus, which I guess we didn't find out, you know, I just found this out a few years ago, that you found out a long time before we knew that you didn't know there was really a Santa, that you knew there was really not a Santa.
I let you have one more year once I knew.
Yeah, okay.
I saw some sort of like, oh, I think it was like a Mrs. Fields type of Easy Bake oven. I saw that in the back seat, and then it was signed Love Santa. So I let you have one more year. And then I think 1999 going into the year 2000, I finally said, hey, honey, I know Santa is not real. It's you, boo.
Well, so then once you knew that there was not a Santa, really a Santa Claus, I started still giving you gifts from Santa, but I signed it the Spirit of Santa.
Right.
Because the Spirit of Santa Claus exists always and always has and always will. So I guess I relate more to Santa Claus, but you know, you have to like think about the elves too, because they help them make all those gifts, all those little presents.
Yeah, they're hard workers.
So they're important too, but yeah, so I don't know. Does that answer your question? I'm not sure.
I guess so. You feel more like Santa because you like giving gifts and you think Santa's really cool and you fancy yourself a cool gift giver.
I love the way you rephrase that. That was perfect. Yes,
okay,
thank
great.
You.
And Dad, how about you?
Well, I always have thought that Santa was the main character or person that made Christmas magic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the elves are very important because, you know, like right now, I think with COVID, we realize frontline workers, people who work in grocery stores, people who do deliveries, they're very, very important people. We wouldn't have a good life if they didn't do their jobs well. So I guess I'm appreciating the elves more than ever, but I guess as I was going through my years, it's always been Santa that was more closely associated with Christmas.
Right. But do you think you're like Santa? Because I would actually say you are an elf in our house.
I would have to say that is true. Well, you guys are busy, you know, planning different things, and I'm always behind the scenes doing a little busy work, you know, cleaning dishes and
yeah.
You know, opening packages and
or mom set
the
you
mail.
To work on wrapping the presents at house. But so, you're Santa when it comes to like the finances. Thanks for playing footsie with me, Mom. That felt good. My mom's under the table clutching my foot with her talon.
I thought that was this is a table stand, and I'm like,
wait. So I do think, I'm going to let you wrap up what I just said, because I think
okay,
you say it best.
So what I think you're saying is, you feel like you bring big Santa energy to your life in general and to the world in general, but around the house, you bring elf energy because mom has a particular way she likes things done, and you know it's easier just to be an elf and let her be Santa.
I think that's true. When I try to be Santa, it doesn't work out so well.
Right. I think I'm trying to bring big Santa energy to my life right now, but I know when I need to be an elf. You know, I think it's about knowing when you need to be the Santa and when you need to be the elf and allowing for that balance, you know, the yin and yang energy. So, okay. Now the next question. These are also the original questions that I made up. So, are you impressed?
Yeah, ready.
You're very creative.
Thank you. So if you were a reindeer, how much would you charge for your services? Full night, all around the world, every house around the world, every child in the world. How much would you charge Santa? Because reindeer wages are down this year. I don't know if you know that. The economy hasn't quite caught up for them yet. So I think they deserve a raise. What do you think?
Well, I think Lyft drivers and Uber drivers have an algorithm that when they're in top demand, they charge the highest rate. I hate to be a person that is very I'll call it monetary in their thinking, but I would say you should get at least a limo service rates. And I don't know, when you flew in here from the airport, what were you charged for the half hour ride?
I'm not saying.
So I'd say $250 an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
That's not very much.
I
think that's a terrible rate.
That is
okay,
like
every
well,
house in the world.
Man,
you're only getting $250 an hour.
Are you saying as a reindeer?
Yes, as a reindeer. They should be making a lot more than that. They're responsible.
Millions.
Santa
millions.
Cannot do his job
but
without the reindeer.
There's a little
millions.
Bit of charitable intent.
No.
But
they have to
well.
Make a living.
They have to make a living,
they
too.
Have to, they
is
have
this
to
their
provide,
own night that they get
like
paid
they have
for
to
the
provide
whole year?
For their families.
I mean, this is like the highest ticket night. If they don't make the money this night, then they're not going to be able to exactly provide for their families for the whole year. If you're a reindeer. How much would you charge, Mom?
If you're going all over the world to all these different houses, I don't know if you want to have a per house rate or if I would say at least $5 million a reindeer.
Wow. That's a good one. I was going to say at least six figures, but I like Mom's number better.
I mean, the thing is, think of it. They're working, they're going to all these houses in one night. I mean, that's exasperating,
true.
That's
true.
You know?
I mean, I was being very small in my thinking.
Yeah.
I want to apologize.
I don't know. Maybe, I would say somewhere between $1 million and $5 million.
Okay.
Probably, you know.
Probably five.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Okay.
And you divide it by all the children in the world, that's a very low rate.
Yes, exactly. It's actually quite affordable for Santa, who I'm sure is making maybe $1 billion in one night. I don't know who's paying him.
Who's paying him? I don't know. Yeah.
Someone. The money has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Although, as we know, Dad, money is fake.
A whole nother discussion. We'll cover that on another podcast.
My dad and I fight a lot about money being fake because they printed out so much recently that I'm like, how is it real? It's not backed by anything. It's fake. But he says it's real. So whatever. He's a financial planner. I believe him. Not really, though. I think it's fake. Okay. Next question. So Christmas is Jesus's birthday, right?
Yes.
If you could get Jesus something for his birthday, what would you get him and why?
If I could get Jesus something for his birthday, I would get him, Well, if I could get him anything and it really would come true, I would get him the gift of having each person on this earth love one another and treat each other the way you want to be treated. If that were a gift that could be given, that's the gift I would give to Jesus.
That's beautiful.
I don't think I could top that. That is really what Jesus wanted for the world. And, you know, from the time he was born to, you know, unfortunately, the time he gave his life for us, that's what he wanted. And I believe that's what we should aspire to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to ditto that. But also, if I can't get Jesus world peace and humans loving each other, I think what I would get Jesus is a journal. Because Jesus has a lot of people talking to him all the time, telling him all their problems. And I know Jesus is God, but you know what? God needs to take care of himself too. And so I think Jesus needs somewhere to vent. I'd get Jesus a journal and I'd get Jesus a therapist.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Pay for a few sessions.
Mm-hmm.
He's traumatized. He went through a lot. Speaking of Jesus, you know, Jesus died at 33, the age 33. They call that the Christ year. I'm about to have that. Do you all remember, did something major happen to you when you were 33 years old? They say that this is a big time of like spiritual awakening, stepping into yourself, you know, going down your soul's path. Did anything major happen to you when you were 33?
I was 33 years old in 1984, and that's the year I met my wife, Joanne.
Okay, now we actually met many years before that.
Well, I shouldn't say met.
That's the year they started dating.
I was going to say that, but I wasn't sure.
We re-engaged in 1984, and that's the year I turned 33. So that was a very special year.
Beautiful, Dad. Next question. Favorite Christmas carol or song? And sing a little bit of it.
I think Silent Night.
Go ahead.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Beautiful.
Round yon. Want me to keep going?
No, I think that's good, Dad. You have a beautiful voice. Mommy?
Well, there's one that I really like, but I really can't think of the name of it right.
It sounds awesome.
It's really awesome. I don't remember the tune or anything, but I really like it because it talks about, you know,
your grown-up Christmas.
Yes, that one, the grown-up Christmas list.
No more lives torn apart.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's so pretty. It makes me want to cry. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
That's the one.
And then a very untraditional song was our little favorite when you and
Little Drummer Boy.
Your nieces, your cousins were young, and we got together and played the Four Tops version of Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's a must listen. You have to check it out. That's like the most soulful song you've ever heard. I mean, I love that one. I love Little Drummer Boy, and I found a newfound love for that. And I also love, Oh, Holy Night, the stars are brightly
shining. I love that one, too.
It's a beautiful song. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it, especially when you sing it, because you have such a beautiful, beautiful voice.
But you asked me to sing, and I wasn't going to go there.
Okay. My last question, my last Christmas theme question. What's your favorite ever Christmas present that you've gotten?
That I have gotten?
Mm-hmm.
Like from when I was little?
Anytime from little to now.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, again, I don't have a lot of vivid memories of Christmas gifts over the years. I've had a lot of very, very nice gifts. But I think as a kid, you sort of enjoy, things that are going to be fun things. And, you know, it was a bike that I got when I was young. And I remember taking a picture and I was very, very proud and happy with it and enjoyed using it and couldn't wait to weather to break so I could start going out and riding. But that's a vivid memory that I have with pictures.
Aww. What color was it, Dad?
It was red.
Aw.
A Schwinn.
Schwinn.
Yep.
I know my favorite one ever.
What?
Was when you got me the Mitch Albom co-hosting. That was such an amazing present. That's cool. There's a radio show out here called The Mitch Albom Show. And when I was 26 or 27, my dad donated to his charity and ended up like when the prize was that you get to co-host an hour of the show with him. And I did the co-hosting. And then after that, he asked me to come back and guest co-host for a full week. And it was an amazing present and gave me so much hope at that time because I was feeling a little downtrodden at that point in my life. And it was just like such an amazing vote of confidence from you in my talent and potential. And I just felt very loved and seen.
She sang her Detroit song, which I hope at some point she records because it's a fabulous song.
It's an amazing song, and the city of Detroit should, actually adopt it for its theme song. It's that good. It really is. You have to listen to it.
So I sang that on the show, not just generally.
It was fantastic, and Lauren did an unbelievable job as the host, and they were absolutely so impressed that if she wanted a permanent job there, it would have been hers.
I mean, that's something I do wonder about because I did love doing it. It just wasn't a good time. Like, it wasn't the right timing, but who knows? Maybe someday Mitch and I will still work together.
I think so.
I hope so. And Mommy, what's your favorite Christmas present ever?
Oh, wow. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is like when you were little, sometimes, you would make things at school and bring them. And those were my very favorite things. All the little things that you would make, they were so beautiful and so loving. And, that was like, that meant the most to me. When I was little, my very favorite thing is, I remember when I was little getting a dollhouse that I absolutely loved, getting a Betsy Wetsy doll. That I loved that. And I had a Revlon doll. Those were my favorite childhood gifts. And then something materialistic is when you and Dad got me the bike that one year for Christmas. I really liked that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. Mm. So
we should get her another bike, Dad.
Absolutely.
Smaller, one that I can ride more easily.
I think the only trouble with the bike was a little bit too tall and didn't quite work.
She's scared on it.
It's a good-looking bike, though.
It is. It's really pretty.
It's really pretty.
Okay, well, what's up next is something I like to call a tale of Mike Scrooge Grasso. And this is our LaGrasso take on A Christmas Carol. And it is a heartwarming tale. Starts off quite aggressively, but ends up on a really nice note where we had a heartwarming moment.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. So, okay, Dad, let's rewind time. We're time traveling back to late 2019. You and me are sitting in the living room and you start telling me a story about a recent interaction you had with our lovely newspaper carrier. You love getting the newspaper.
I love getting my Detroit Free Press, particularly on a Sunday morning. It's my ritual to have a cup of coffee and read my Sunday newspaper.
It's what the kids would call your morning routine. So you look forward to this every day. From the time I was a little girl, my dad would do this. I'd come down, I'd see him in the living room, reading his paper, drinking his coffee in the corner. It is something he looks forward to. He's steeped in anticipation every Sunday. It is a very big deal to him. And he's very used to the paper being delivered directly on our little porch. So all he has to do is go out in his little slippers and his little blue robe, pick up the paper, and head to the corner of the living room. However, late 2019, things started getting a little shaken up and you weren't feeling too good about it, were you?
We had a new newspaper carrier and she, instead of leaving it on the porch, was throwing the paper on the lawn, which was several steps away from the porch.
It was disturbing to you.
Which meant I had to go out into rain, sleet, snow.
You're not the Postal Service.
Just like the U.S. Postal Service to get my newspaper in the morning, which didn't put me in the same frame of mind as just picking it up right off the porch with an easy step off the porch. So
right. You were trying to keep your mornings more zen. And when this was happening, you weren't able to keep the zen-like nature that you've come to appreciate when it comes to a Sunday morning. So what did you do to try to alleviate this problem and get the newspapers back on the porch?
So when we're getting close to Christmas time, the newspaper carrier left a card, which, you know, is usually an indication that, you know, not only wishing season greetings, but to, you know, have an opportunity to provide a tip. So I use that as an opportunity to let the newspaper carrier know that although they were always very good as far as delivering the paper, and but unfortunately by putting on their grass, I considered that a good job. But I thought if she would instead deliver the paper and put it on the porch, that would be a great job. So I sort of said it that way in my note to her. And I left her a less than robust tip, but I gave her the indication that if she would start putting the paper on the porch, there might be more where that came from, and maybe the tip would increase.
And what I said to this when my dad told me was, oh, no. And you got a little note back from our friend, and she was not too pleased, was she?
She considered it one of the most disrespectful notes she's ever received in her many illustrious years of delivering newspapers. She had mentioned to me how pleased her other 700 customers were, and that and she did indicate that she had offered, when she first took over the route, the to find out what my preference was. I must have missed that note, and consequently, I didn't let her know that I preferred that it be on the porch. So, and of course, she not only wasn't pleased with my note, but she returned the gift that I had given her. So, obviously, yes, that was...
She didn't want to accept your blood money.
So she was not pleased. When I opened the note, I thought it was going to be a thank you note, and instead it was a take your lump of coal and you know, take it and shove it, pretty much.
Yeah, and when you read me the note, I was quite disturbed at what had transpired. I asked you, why didn't you talk to me and Mom first? Because we always like to weigh in and give you the wording to help people get your message in a way that is warm and kind while still getting what you want. And you know, Dad, you are one of the kindest, most warm people I know. But sometimes when you're dealing with a business matter, it can be a little chop-chop, which I know isn't your intention. So what we did, you and I did a quick writing workshop, would you say?
Right.
And we really softened the edges of your message. And we approached her with contrition. I basically dictated the note for you to send. And your heart, the cockles of your heart were warmed. And you felt like a changed man, and you were ready to just apologize.
It was
be generous.
It was a beautifully
written
note.
Like the
note.
Ghost of Christmas past, future, and present, all wrapped into one. And would you say that my ghosting was effective?
It was a heartfelt apology that my daughter allowed me to open my heart, express myself differently, and in a much nicer way by first really being apologetic for how I made her feel. And once we, made that point clear, I also wanted her to know that it was my inability to communicate that created the problem. Because I think what I found since then, first of all, I after I wrote the letter, I tripled the amount that I initially had given her. So I think that was pleasing.
Yes, that was effective.
And in addition, I used my daughter's wonderful way of expressing herself to, use that method to apologize so that the gift was accepted. And I have to report that in 2021, I have gotten that newspaper delivered on my porch on a timely basis each and every Sunday and each and every weekday that I subscribe to the paper. And we've had just a beautiful relationship ever since.
Yeah. Old wounds healed. Cold hearts melted. It's a Christmas miracle. And that, my friends, is what we call the story of Mike Scrooge Grasso turning into Mike LaGrasso, warm heart extraordinaire.
And I have my daughter and wife to thank for that. And
you've always had the warm heart. You just needed help with the wording.
They've always been my better halves.
Aw. I love you, Daddy. Love and you I'm too. So happy you have a good relationship with our news carrier. You even talk about how we both had floods. You know, there was a big flood this year here in the yeah. Metro Detroit area. And, you know,
so there's a little more relating, sharing going on.
A lot of sharing, a lot of human interaction. We love to see it. It's a beautiful tale. And I hope that you have one of your own heartwarming moments this Christmas. It's amazing. So with that, something else that's amazing. My mom explaining movies.
Oh, no.
Mom explains movies. The segment you've been waiting for an entire year. Mother.
Oh, no.
I've got something for you. I'd like you to share your recollection of the plot of Home Alone 2.
Oh, boy.
Kevin in New York. Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear it. What happens in that movie? What is it that makes it such a classic?
Well, let's see. Where were they going? They were going to Florida, I think. See, I think they were all going to Florida.
Yeah, you're right.
And they didn't oversleep, but they changed planes in New York, LaGuardia, I believe. And I think when they changed planes, somehow Kevin got on the wrong flight.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And, of course, they didn't realize until they got off the plane and they were going through baggage claim and no Kevin. And so he then, you know, because of being the very mature and creative and
industrious,
and I was that's the word I was thinking of, industrious.
Wow.
And industrious and very self, you know, reliant person that he is, he, you know, made the most of things. Let's see, I'm trying to think. I think he had, didn't he have his dad's credit card somehow? Somehow
he had a wad of cash.
Yeah, somehow
he's wearing his dad's coat.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, thank you.
I'm not supposed to be helping you, by the way.
I didn't remember that, but I remember he had something of his dad's that helped him to pay for something. Was he staying? Oh, the Plaza Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The Plaza Hotel.
Yeah, that's right.
He stayed at the Plaza Hotel. So, yeah, so he was using, I think he was using his dad's credit card, and he was living high off the land. He was just, you know, ordering room service and let's see, and there was this one guy who, at the front desk, who was very suspicious of him, and Kevin was trying as hard as he could to deceive him. But all of a sudden, when they checked the credit card. I don't know. They did something with the credit card. Anyway, they found out that, the credit card was not. I don't know. How did they do that? The credit card wasn't his or the charges were denied. Oh, I know. Because didn't they in Florida deny? I don't remember what they did. Didn't they in Florida? Now, the rest of the family's in Florida trying to figure out where he is in New York. And I think they did something with your credit card. I don't remember what, something. And so anyway, they found out through the credit card that, I don't know. I don't remember.
There's a lot of business around the credit card.
There's a lot of something going on. Anyway, finally he had to, and then he made friends with the penguin lady.
No. Yeah. There were a few penguins in there.
The dove lady.
Try again. Another bird.
Oh, the pigeons.
Yeah.
The pigeons. She made friends with this lady who liked a lot of pigeons. She lived with pigeons. She had pigeons all over her. The pigeons lived on her.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I think she was homeless and the pigeons really liked her.
A person experiencing homelessness.
And she liked the pigeons and the pigeons liked her. Mm-hmm. So Kevin made friends with her and he learned some really, life lessons through her.
What would you say would be one?
That no matter how much you have, you can always still be grateful and make the best of what you have, make the most of what you have. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. But he saw her beauty and he saw through her pain and all of that.
Mm.
And so I don't know. I can't remember exactly what happened. Something he left. Okay, so then the same two thieves that, were in Chicago, taunting him and terrorizing
him. What were they called?
Thieves?
Bandits.
Oh, the water bandits.
Yes, exactly.
The water bandits. So the water bandits, now they got out of prison and they saw him crossing the street and they were like, okay, we're getting this kid now because he's responsible for all of our misfortune. So they follow him and then he realizes that they're following him. He remembers that his uncle has a place somewhere in Manhattan. He remembers where the uncle's living. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he remembers it. I can't remember. Did he have a phone book? I don't think so. Maybe he did. I don't remember. But anyway, did he have Google?
No, no. There was no Google. There was no Google then.
Yeah.
Three.
So he found where his uncle lived. So he goes there. Lo and behold, of course, no one's there. It's being renovated. The uncle's out of town. So he takes it upon himself to use that, you know, venue for all of his little, you know, mischievous acts to, you know, protect himself from these water bandits. Which I don't know if they're water bandits anymore, but they're bandits nonetheless. Yeah.
No, they're water bandits.
Nonetheless,
sure.
They are bandits and thieves, and they weren't very nice guys. So anyway, I don't remember exactly what he did there. I think the tar and feathering was – oh, did he tar and feather there? I can't remember if that was in Home Alone 1 or Home Alone 2. I don't remember. But anyway, so to make a long story short, or to make – somehow, anyway, to just push the story along, he – let's see. So they found where he was at. They came in there. He did all these like tricks and, you know, different things to
magic.
That's right. Oh, then he had like a little rope. No, no. What, there was a rope to the.
That was the first one.
Oh, that was the first one. That was the rope to the first one. Yeah. Let's see. how did he get out of that house? I don't remember how he got out of the house. Somehow. Did the police come to the house? I don't remember. How did that happen? I don't even remember now. Somehow he like knocked them out or something. I think they got arrested. Then he somehow went back to the, where'd he go? Back to the park? No. Oh, then somehow his parents realized he was in New York. They flew back there. I think the whole family flew back there. Did his mom fly back first? I don't remember. Do you recall? I don't recall. It's all a big blur to me.
You know? Yeah. Anyway, this is pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, so he did all, you know, he took care of those guys. He, you know, did all of his little tricks at, you know, wherever, you know, to really disable them and to, you know, make them realize how sorry they were for trying to take him on again and to make them realize that they couldn't beat him. And so anyway,
that is why. That's the reason.
Yeah. So they were arrested. And I don't think the police, when they arrested him again, didn't even know that Kevin was involved, you know, because he was so crafty at everything. And of course, it is a movie. And, you know, so there you have it. But anyway, then somehow maybe did the parents, how did the parents and Kevin find each other again? I don't remember.
If you had to guess, what would you say?
Let's see. Where did they meet up? Maybe the mom. Okay. I think what happened is maybe mm-hmm. the mom went to maybe she figured out that the uncle's place and maybe Kevin would be at the uncle's place. So I think the mom and Kevin met up. Then the whole rest of the family flew in. I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just making it up because I don't remember what happened. So then the whole rest of the family flew in. They had a luxury suite they had the top, you know, suite at the Plaza Hotel. It was beautiful. There was an upstairs, there was a downstairs, there was a, you know, balcony, there was everything you could want. They had Christmas trees in there. There was all kinds of presents. I don't know if because the hotel treated Kevin so poorly, if they were, you know,
at the Plaza. They may have gone to the Hudson Hotel.
Oh, did they go to a different hotel after the Plaza?
I don't know. Did they?
I don't remember.
You're the expert here.
Okay.
Now tell me, do you recall the toy store at all?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I completely forgot about the toy store. Yes. He went to the toy store and what did he do there? Oh, that's right. He found out that those two water bandits were going to rob the toy store. So I think he went there to try to stop them. That's right. In the middle of all this, he went there to try to stop them. And then did he tell the owner of the toy store about it? I don't remember.
Could be.
So I think he told the owner of the toy store. Maybe the owner of the toy store is the one that put him back up at the plaza with all the gifts and everything.
All right.
I don't remember.
There you have it.
Well, just a second. The other thing is he went back to the pigeon lady and I don't remember. Did he bring her something? I don't remember. I can't remember. They somehow, you know, got together again. I think he told her how nice she was.
And hopefully he didn't bring her a turkey.
Did he bring it? I don't remember what he brought her.
She probably wouldn't have eaten it. And she loves birds yeah. so much.
Anyway, he brought her something. Or maybe he just told her that she was a nice person. I don't know turtle what doves. It was. What? Turtle doves?
Turtle doves.
He brought her turtle doves?
he brought her. I think they had a little something that maybe he...
It was a little thing that the guy at the toy store gave him.
Right.
Okay, so he brought the thing the guy at the toy store gave him. I didn't...
Well, and that's how the movie goes. So you guys, if you disagree, you're wrong. That's actually the whole plot. And thank you so much for tuning in to Mom Explains Movies.
I'm sorry, that wasn't...
No, that was spot good, on. Water Bandits, we'll never forget. All right, final segment here, folks. This is a heartwarming segment. This is a segment where we melt your beautiful hearts. We melt any ice around them and we warm those hearts up and we tell you, we love you. It's Christmas and you're going to be okay. But before we get into that, do either of you have any stories of a holiday gone wrong? Like a funny story? I don't think I do.
As a follow-up to the story about the plaza.
Oh boy.
Lauren enjoyed that movie so much.
Oh, yeah.
That she sort of put a bug in Joanne's ear to possibly have a little Christmas at the plaza. And I remember, were you four years old?
4 years old.
We ended up right around mid-December going to the Plaza Hotel, and Lauren and I enjoyed a nice $25 omelet, I remember.
It was delicious.
And we just had a great time. We went to FAO Schwartz, which was, I think, the toy store that was sort of the store that they were referring to in the movie. And we just had a wonderful Christmas. That was fun.
Yeah. Yep. Love New York.
It's a nice trip.
Get me a shirt. I love New York. So do you have any holidays gone wrong, any holiday gone wrong stories that you recall? That are funny, because sometimes when holidays go wrong, it's sad.
I don't think anything.
Nothing major.
Is memorable as far as going wrong or funny.
So this segment, like, really, we want to give a little bit of special love to anyone who's going through a tough time this holiday, especially people who are sick right now or have family members that are sick. Especially people who are dealing with COVID. I have so many friends. My friend Roxy is dealing with COVID right now and isolated. Emily, our amazing producer, unfortunately was on set and they were not doing good testing on the set she was on. They were doing like cheap rapid testing and like tons of people on the set got it. And so she's sick with COVID right now and isolated and not able to be with anyone. So there's a lot of people who are alone right now or sick. And it's just like the holidays are tough enough, but during a pandemic, it's heightened so much. So I'd love it if either of you, both of you, would give a little message to those who are alone or sad this holiday season on how they can have a little hope to get through.
Well, it is hard to be alone the holiday season, but I think the thing is you always have to, you know, have gratitude to the degree you can for what's going right in your life, because I think, you know, most of us have, you know, something we can hold on to that gives us a good, you know, positive reason to keep pushing through the tough times. Obviously, you know, we're very fortunate that we have people in our lives that we love and love us, and it just makes the holidays that much brighter. But, you know, again, there's always somebody out there that cares, you know, that you really just need to seek out and find you know, some joy and, you know, in being optimistic and being positive and trying to get through the tough moments, because the tough moments sort of test our fortitude, and you know, we need to get through those to be able to get to a brighter future. So I think you know, let's get the worst behind us, and let's look forward to better days ahead.
JoJo?
Well, I mean, that was very well said, Mike, and I would have to ditto that. And, you know, just, you know, maybe just to reiterate a little bit, just that, you know, remember that you are always loved more than you know. And I think I have a keychain that says that you're, you know, braver than you think, smarter than you think, and love more than you know. And that even though that it may be, with this pandemic, we can't get together with everyone that we would really love to get together, and that can be very sad. But let's hope for that, you know, next year, and, you know, maybe in the next few months, we can get together with all the people that we love, and we can stay in touch with them no matter what. and that know that, you know, nothing can break the bonds of love, mm-hmm. no matter what. And also that sometimes when you are feeling lonely and lost, the best thing you can do is to extend yourself to other people and do what you can to extend kindness and love to other people. I know that my mom and dad always told us, be kind, be generous, always do what you can to help other people. Don't ever expect anything in return, and God will always reward you tenfold. And treat other people the way you want to be treated. And I know that my dad would always, you know, grandpa would always, like when he was on the phone, somebody was really helpful to him, or if he was at a store and somebody, you know, he'd always like go out of his way to try to talk to their supervisor and tell them, you know, tell the person, thank you so much for your help. Thank you for being so kind. I really appreciate it. And if you can, you know, go to the person's, you know, he would always go to the person's supervisor and say, I just want to thank you for having this employee. They were really helpful. And
so you're saying this time of year is a good time to tell people that you appreciate them and how you feel. And even if you can't be in community with someone, even if you can't be with your loved ones or even with other people, to really express your gratitude for other people's existence and place in your life.
Lauren, so much better said than the way I said it. You said it much better than the way I did. You always are able to take it and put it in clarity and make it concise, and that's perfect. Thank you. Exactly. Ditto what you said.
I was just going to say, you know, one of my favorite Christmas movies is It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, George Bailey was ready to cash it all in. You know, yeah. He thought it was his life wasn't worth living, and what he found out was, you know, there were a lot of people that loved him more than he ever realized. And, you know, it changed his attitude toward everything. And I think if we just reflect, you know, we all have a lot to live for, and we should just cherish the fact that even if you go through the tough times, that there's always going to be a brighter day ahead.
Yeah. And taking the time to acknowledge people now, like, don't wait until things get dire. Do it now. Like, whether or not you're sick or alone this holiday season, taking the time to acknowledge the people that you love in your life, taking the time to acknowledge yourself. You know, I think to myself last Christmas, and I was really, really lonely. I was so grateful to be with my parents, but I wanted love in my life, and I missed my friends, and I, you know, didn't feel like things were going that well, but it took until about the spring, but I just started deciding to love myself and be a better partner to myself and really ask, like, how could I take care of myself? And when I started doing those things, all this love and abundance started coming toward me. So you can start today, even if you're alone, start loving yourself, be a good family member to yourself, take care of your younger self, ask yourself what you need and give it to yourself. I think that this is a great time to start cultivating self-love. The other thing I'll say is that, you know, if COVID or something like that is precluding you from seeing your family and making you unable to see your family, you can still get together with them down the road. Just because Christmas is right now doesn't mean like you can't have some sort of Christmas celebration or whatever it is that you're celebrating down the road with your family and make it just as special then. I know there's a lot of pressure on this time of year, but you can just as easily have a Christmas celebration when your illness has gone away and the numbers have, you know, gone down a little bit. So there's so much pressure on this time of year, but I'd say like it's up to you to bring the Christmas magic wherever, whenever you can celebrate. And don't let that feeling of like, oh my God, it has to be this day, take you down. Do what you can to love yourself and express your love to the people that are important to you in your life, even if they can't be there. And then when the time comes, if you're able to celebrate at a later date.
And can I add one other thing?
Yes, go for it.
I was just going to say that I think it's so important to tell the people that you care about, your family, your friends, even, you know, your coworkers. Tell people how much, you know, you care about them. Thank them for, you know, tell them what they mean to you. Thank them for what they help you with in your life, and tell them that you love them. You can never, ever say, I love you too much. Mm-hmm. That's something that everyone needs to hear and loves to hear. So if you have those feelings about somebody, just tell them. Don't wait to tell them. Tell them now.
And you can even, like, when my boyfriend and I started saying I love you to each other, I go, just so you know, I like saying I love you all the time. And I'm not one of those people that's going to, like, reserve it for special occasions. I'm like, I'm going to say I love you a lot. And so just expect it. And we say I love you, like, 25 times a day, you know? It's like, it doesn't get old. Saying I love you more doesn't take away its power. If anything, it makes it more powerful. Because then you're feeling loved all day. You just have little hearts around you, your whole person, all day long. And you two really taught me that. We say I love you all the time.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, you know, I leave the room. I'm like, all right, love you. And I go upstairs. So, yeah, I think that you can't say love you too much. So, final question for you two beautiful humans. I'd love for you to give a Christmas wish for yourself, for your family, and for the beautiful creative listeners.
I guess my Christmas wish for myself is that I can love myself more, that I can not be as hard on myself and try to do more things to improve every area of my life and take action. And my Christmas wish for my family is that they know how much I love them and how grateful I am for them, and how thankful I am. I, you know, just want, you know, you and Dad and to know how much I love you, how much I thank God for you, and how important, you know, you are to me every single second of every single day. And and you know, I, you know, have a lot of people in our extended family that I would, you know, want to tell that to also. But and then to the listeners, I would just say that a lot of what Lauren just said, but love yourself more and be kind to yourself and have gratitude for everything in your life, because the more you are, you know, the more grateful you are, the more things you will have to be grateful for. And just know that you are loved more than you think you are.
Beautiful, Mommy. Go ahead, Dad.
So, first one's for ourselves.
For yourself. Right?
My wish is to continue to be happy in what I'm doing, to, you know, maybe do more fun things. You know, I've been a little bit nose to the grindstone working for many, many years, going on, you know, 40. Probably since the time I was 12 and I had a newspaper route.
Yeah.
But I've got to become college Mike again. You know,
I got my dad. Oh my God. Let me give you a little context. I went on a trip when my mom was taking care of my grandma. I went on a trip with my dad. I reaped the benefits because she couldn't go anywhere, so I would get to go on all my dad's business trips with him. And we got to go to the Bahamas, and I won $200 on the slots one night. And my dad and I went hog wild. We went to the bar right after, and there was a Motown band playing, and my dad had like 4 amarettos, and I coined the term college Mike because it was the first time I'd ever seen my dad even slightly tipsy. And he was fun, and he was jamming, and he was singing Motown. But my dad's got so much creativity and so much passion and energy, and I'm really excited to see, as you start slowing down business, how you take that creative energy and channel it into your next chapter.
Yeah. Well, I think spend a little more time in California. We'll help us do that. We'll have a lot of fun together. And, you know, again, lightening up the workload, letting other people, you know, pick up some of that slack and just enjoying life more.
Okay. And your wish for your family?
For my family is that everybody's happy. Everybody.
Healthy. Most healthy, important, healthy.
Very, very healthy. That we can reconnect without as much fear of COVID, because I think, you know, it's sort of still a prevailing concern for, you know, the family, and you know, creates, you know, some difficulties in getting together as much as you like and being able to reconnect as much as you like. So hopefully we can get through that over the next year and, you know, enjoy getting back to pre-COVID days.
And wish for the listener.
For the listener, I think Lauren really has a fantastic message in her podcast, and that is believing in yourself. I think that's the number one thing in your creative endeavors. You've got to have faith that, you know, you've got the talent, you've got the ability, you've got the everything that it takes. Sometimes you just have to work hard and get through some of the, you know, difficult times to be able to, you know, finally arrive at, you know, a better place. And I just think so much of the advice and, you know, the interviews that are done, you know, I get a lot out of them myself, even though I've been at it for a long time. I still find, you know, that the different guests that she has on the show, there's just so much to learn and so much to add, you know, value to, you know, what you're doing in your daily life. So
yes.
I think that's a very important best podcast ever. It no
is.
Question.
Believe in yourself and listen to more Unleash Your Inner Creative is basically what my dad is saying. And I agree. That is sound advice. Okay, I will go now. Thank you both. That was beautiful. My wish for myself is that I can live more in the moment and not beat myself up as much, you know, really have gratitude for where I'm at and know, like have a deeper knowing that beauty is coming. My wish for my family is that you both will love yourself more and believe in yourselves and lead from a place of hope and love versus fear. Not leading with fear or being driven by fear. I hope you can both take fear out of the driver's seat and know how much you deserve beauty in life and that we can all be together more. And my wish for my listener, I love you so much. Thank you so much for supporting me and for supporting the show. My wish for you is that you love yourself unconditionally. You believe in yourself with all of your heart and that you have people around you who support you and lift you up and help you become even more unleashed in the coming year. And I hope that you're all able to also, if you want this, make money doing the thing you love the most, because I know that that's a big part of why I did this podcast, is I wanted to help people not have to repress a part of themselves anymore, but to be able to live that biggest part of who they are every single day. So I hope that you're just able to be yourself in all parts of your life and know how loved you are by me and my parents and all the creative community members. So parents, thank you so much for being on the Unleash Christmas Spectacular. This has been a phenomenal day. I think we've learned a lot. Water Bandits was probably the biggest takeaway for me. I love you so much. Thank you for listening. Remember to share the show with a friend, post about it on social media, rate, review, follow. I'll do all the things. And thank you to Emily for editing this pod, for being an amazing producer. We love you. Follow her at We Can't Find Emily. Thanks, Liz Full, for the show's theme music. You can follow her at Liz Full. Follow me at Lauren LaGrasso, at Unleash Your Inner Creative. And
everyone stay healthy and safe. And that's because, you know.
Yeah, stay healthy, safe, and know how loved you are. And
we believe in you.
Love you. And I'll talk with you in the new year.